The ceasefire Matthew just mentioned was reportedly negotiated with help from Egyptian mediators. That's a sign that Israel and Egypt are still talking to each other. The relationship between the two is under serious stress at the moment. Israel says the Palestinian militants that killed 8 Israelis last Thursday entered its territory from Egypt. And Egypt was angered by the deaths of 5 of its security personnel during Israel's response to the incident. At one point, Egypt threatened to recall its ambassador. That hasn't happened, but perhaps we're seeing a new kind of relationship between Israel and its neighbors, a relationship shaped by the changes that have swept the region recently. That's what we heard today from Rami Khoury. He directs the Institute of Public Policy and International Affairs at the American University of Beirut.
As the Arab world becomes more democratic and you get more governments that actually reflect the real will of their people, you will get the more hardline positions taken by Arab governments against Israel, because there is strong anger all around the region, which resonates with public opinion, as we see in Egypt, a strong anger with what the Israelis are doing. And hopefully this will be translated ultimately into renewed diplomatic pressures to go back to a negotiated resolution of the Arab-Israeli conflict, but one that is actually fair to both sides rather than reflecting Israeli military superiority and American diplomatic bias, as has been the case to date.
How much of a hand do you think the U.S. had this weekend in trying to smooth things over between Israel and Egypt?
It probably tried to play a role, and it may have played a role behind the scenes. The problem for the U.S., as we've witnessed widely across the region, is that it has really marginalized itself. And anything having to do with Arab-Israeli negotiations, the U.S. has wildly marginalized itself to the point where the United States is just not a serious mediator anymore, is not seen to be a mediator. It has the opportunity to change that if it takes a more effective, more even-handed, more activist role. It can do that again. But right now, it plays no serious role at all, as far as I can tell.
Well, Rami Khoury, I guess the Americans could always say, at least this weekend, that they were overtaken by events in Libya. What are Israelis and Egyptians thinking right now as they see images of Libyan rebels pouring into Tripoli?
Well, the Egyptians have quickly recognized the National Transitional Council, the rebel leadership in Libya. They've recognized it as the legitimate government. And I think what both sides are probably doing, if they're being honest, is understanding that what we're witnessing in Libya and what we witnessed in Tunisia and Egypt is a trend that is sweeping across the region for various reasons that are slightly different in each country, and conditions are different in each country, but there is a common trend, which is that citizenries are fed up with living in non-democratic, top-heavy, security-dominated, corruption-riddled, mismanaged police states.
Well, as you say, I mean, Arab leaders have to be thinking, what does all this news from Libya kind of portend for me? I mean, thousands of anti-government protesters took to the streets across Syria today, calling for President Bashar al-Assad to step down. Does that mean that if it can happen in Libya, Bashar al-Assad should be worried?
Absolutely, Bashar al-Assad should be worried, and I think he is worried. The toppling of a regime will become inevitable when three things come together, which is serious domestic opposition, regional pressure by neighbors all across the region, and legitimate international pressure through the Security Council in the UN. When those three things come together, as they did in Libya, it means that the regime is going to fall. Those three things have now virtually come together in Syria, and therefore the Syrians are in deep trouble. They haven't come together in a place like Bahrain, for instance, where the regional powers, the Saudis especially, have not taken a position critical of the Bahrain government. They're supporting the government. They sent in troops. So it's the domestic, regional, international pressure that is simultaneous and politically legitimate that is the key to whether an Arab dictatorship falls or persists. And I think in the Syrian case, it's just a question of how does the transition happen and when does it happen.
Rami Khoury is director of the Issam Faris Institute of Public Policy and International Affairs at the American University of Beirut. He's also editor-at-large of the Beirut-based Daily Star newspaper. Rami, always good to speak with you. Thanks.
Glad to be with you, as always.